Okay, so ready for a deep dive into something super relatable? Like, imagine reaching for your go-to coffee mug, the one that just makes your morning,
Right.
and it slips,
Oh no.
crashes to the floor, and suddenly that simple routine, not so simple anymore, right?
Yeah, it's amazing how something we take for granted can become a challenge, after an injury or just a change in our lives.
And that's where occupational therapy comes in.
Yeah.
But it's more than just exercises and stretches, right?
Absolutely. It's about helping people participate in those activities that matter most to them.
Yeah.
And a big part of that is using theoretical models to guide our work.
Okay, so think of these models like different lenses, right? Each one giving us a unique perspective on how to approach a challenge. We've got a stack of sources today diving into four key models. We've got the model of human occupation, which that's MOHO for
Yeah,
short.
right.
The Canadian model of occupational performance engagement. That one's a mouthful, CMOPE. We've also got the Kawamodelin.
Interesting one, that one.
And last but not least, a newer model, the transactional model of occupation, or TMO. So ready to decode these.
Let's do it.
All right, let's start with MOHO. It's often seen as like the foundation, the big one. What makes it so important?
Well, it really emphasizes the dynamic relationship between the person, their environment, and the activity itself. It's not just about one thing in
So it's
isolation.
like a system.
Exactly. MOCO breaks it down into three key elements. Volition, which is all about a person's motivation, their values, what drives them. Then there's habituation, which is about the roles and habits that shape our daily routines. And finally, performance capacity, which is the physical and mental abilities that allow us to do things.
So going back to our coffee mug mishap, Emiko wouldn't just focus on like the physical act of reaching for the mug.
Right.
It would consider why that morning coffee is important to the person, their routine around making it, and any challenges they might be facing after the injury.
Exactly. It helps us paint a complete picture.
Okay, so that's MOPE. Now, CMOPE. This one seems to really highlight the engagement part of occupational therapy. What's that all about?
So CMOPE reminds us that it's not just about being able to do something, it's about the experience, the meaning we find in doing it.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Take that morning coffee, for example. CMOPE would look at how the broken mug experience might affect the person's enjoyment of their ritual. Do they feel frustrated? Anxious? Do they even want to continue the routine? It's about understanding the emotional and psychological aspects of occupation, too.
It's the difference between just like gulping down coffee and actually savoring it, right?
Exactly. It acknowledges that subjective experience.
Now, Kawamodelin, this one sounds like a totally different approach.
Yeah, it comes from a non-Western perspective, rooted in Japanese culture, and it emphasizes how societal and cultural factors influence our occupational performance.
So instead of just focusing on the individual, it looks at the bigger picture.
Exactly. Things like social roles, cultural norms, even societal expectations, they all play a role in how we engage in occupations.
That's really interesting. So it might explore how, say, family expectations or cultural norms around independence might influence how someone approaches recovery after an injury.
You got it. It broadens our understanding.
That's so cool. All right, last but not least, we have TMO, the newest model on our list. What's the scoop on this one?
So TMO is all about the dynamic interplay between different elements that influence our occupational participation. It's still relatively new. It was introduced in 2019.
So the research is still emerging.
Exactly. But from what we're seeing, it seems to draw on concepts from other models, emphasizing the interconnectedness of various factors.
That makes sense. It's building on what we already know. Okay, so we've got all these different models. How does an occupational therapist actually decide which one to use?
That's the great thing. It's not about picking just one. We use them as tools.
Oh, okay. Like a toolbox.
Exactly. We assess the person's needs, their goals, and then we draw upon different models to guide our assessment and intervention.
So, for our broken mug friend, one model might be more helpful in understanding their motivation, while another might be better for addressing environmental barriers.
Right. And sometimes we might even use elements from several different models to create a really individualized approach.
It's all about finding the best fit.
Absolutely.
This has been a fascinating look at occupational therapy models.
Yeah.
It's not just about physical function, it's about understanding the whole person.
I agree.
So, for our listeners, think about this. How can understanding these models help you advocate for your own needs? If you're ever facing a challenge, how can you shape your environment to better support your occupational performance. Just something to think about as you enjoy that next cup of coffee, hopefully with a mug that's in one piece.
Okay.